So to give you the context, this describes how the great demon Hiranyaksha and then later Hiranyakashipu appeared in this world. The history of the fight between the Lord as a boar and the demon Hiranyaksha was heard by me in a year long ago, as it was described by the foremost of the demigods, Brahma, when he was questioned by the other demigods. So we can imagine Brahma sits on his throne or his swan carrier, surrounded by many devatas who had heard about the historic confrontation between the Lord, who had taken on the form of a boar, and the demon Hiranyaksha. But how did it come to the appearance of this demon and the subsequent appearance of the Lord? This now described. Diti, the daughter of Daksha, being afflicted with sexual desire, begged her husband Kashyapa, the son of Marichi, to have intercourse with her in the evening in order to beget a child. So here there is a great, great physical need in a woman who approaches her husband with a request for union. The sun was setting, and the sage was just sitting in trance after offering oblations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, whose tongue is the sacrificial fire. Purport. Fire is considered to be the tongue of the Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and oblations of grains and clarified butter offered to the fire are thus accepted by him. That is the principle of all sacrifices of which Lord Vishnu is the master. In other words, the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu includes the satisfaction of all demigods and other living beings. So here my allotted verses end, but how can I let you remain in suspense what happened next? Well, very simple, it was not the proper occasion to conceive a child, but Diti was so much overwhelmed with desire that even though her husband was still in Samadhi and so on, she almost forced herself on him psychologically, and therefore Kashyapa relented. But he had a feeling after the conception had taken place that you will have sons, but because they were conceived under such inauspicious circumstances, the time was not right, it was at the end of a puja, or the puja time was still going on, I have very bad news for you. Your sons will be very bad children. They will be giving terror to the universe. That's the subject. So I will now, this is from this starting point, I will try to make a universal relevant lecture. No, please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Samini tinamine. Namaste sadasate deve. Gauravani pachadine. Nirvishesha shunyavari. Paskadyare satarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. Yes, my dear devotees, whenever one becomes overwhelmed by desires, one becomes less than oneself, than one really is. Look at Diti. This is a very elevated lady. She's not an ordinary living being. She's a goddess, really, a devata. And she knows about these things, the proper time for conceiving good children. She knows also that there must be the proper circumstances. If the husband feels forced and so on, what good can come out of this? She knows more than anyone here in this room. But because the desires are so strong, she acts against her better knowledge. She in some ways loses her strengths of discrimination, her strengths of spiritual insight, and so on, and is therefore in a very bad or let us say, a bad situation. My dear devotees, we are exactly in the same situation, maybe not with this particular desire which harasses poor Diti, but perhaps we have desires for fame. Wow, this is not unknown in the Gujarati community. You know, we have perhaps a desire for wealth, and so on. And if this becomes overriding, we act against our better knowledge that is necessary for our spiritual advancement, for our ultimate journey, for the real things. No, whenever we are overwhelmed with any kinds of desires, material desires, we become less than we are. We become in a way. It's almost as if we have some device in our arm where the lifeblood leaves us, and we become weaker, as if slowly bleeding our blood out of our veins. This is what happens with material desires. You know, they don't enhance you, they don't make you glorious, they degrade you. And so on. But these desires, as we all know, are sometimes very strong. Sometimes we feel in our heart, this is so desire, this is so strong, this desire, let me just try to fulfill it, then I'm over it, then I have peace in my mind. No? And at this moment and at this time, we indulge, and that, but what is the result? We binge on material things, you know, food, entertainment, sense gratification. Binge means we more. It's like like when we go this path of trying to satisfy material desires to get it over with, you don't know. This is very dangerous. It's like feeding ghee to a fire. The fire becomes not less, it becomes stronger. So then the next path is the monk challenge. I go into a temple. One year ago, I received a letter from the Bhaktivedanta Menon. Let me just take some vitamins so that my voice doesn't die out. The devotee who wrote me wrote, "Oh, Maharaji, everyone here tries to be such an ideal devotee. And they don't talk about what they don't have real relationships where they don't dare to talk about what is going on." And I said, I didn't want to say anything. I said a London reply. They all are trying. Let us pray for them. You know, something uncommitting, avoiding the subject. But we know. Suppression in the Gita, you know, is also not the path. Therefore, we don't always see the devotees, the same devotees after 1 year, because the pressure of desire is becoming so strong, bang, that it explodes in some ways. No? What good can repression do, you know, when we have these desires? So indulging is not good because the desires will become stronger. Repressing them and being just, a socially fine version, but inside it's boiling, you know, and at a time we just can't tolerate the boiling any longer and do something out of character, is also not the solution. So what should we poor souls do with our desires? Should we repress them, or should we indulge in them? Is there another way? Is this a good question? Does it capture your interest, this question? Why? Everyone's face freezes now. Facades don't work here any longer. Because it concerns all of us. We are fallen souls. We have come to this world and we need to address this question of what to do with desires in a way that is proactive and good. There is a song, my dear devotees, which caught my great interest many, many years ago when I was in a situation like this where I felt overwhelmed with the desire to become the next president of America. It was extremely strong. It's not that. That, what I just told you, stands for something else, which it's not, you know, no person tells about his inner life in public, you know. So, and I read this verse. It was not a bad desire, you know. It was something which would bring me a lot of money, but I could understand it was unethical. It was ethically not correct, and I needed to make a tough decision, which made me a poor man for the rest of my life, which is all right. But then I read this song. Gopinath hamara upayanai, tumi kripa kori Amare loile samsare udarapai. O Gopinath, I do not have any means of deliverance. There's only one way. Only if you give me your causeless mercy and take me to your realm, the place where you are, shall I get deliverance from material existence. And then the poet describes what is his problem, why he needs God's mercy. He says, O Gopinath, mana ye pagala mora. Pagal means crazy. My mind is completely, as you say in London, mad. My mind is completely mad. It does not accept any discipline and always remains ignorantly in the fearsome pit of sense gratification. I know I shouldn't, but my mind is attracted. O Gopinath, I tried many things, but I have finally accepted defeat. All my careful endeavors have proven futile. Now you are my only hope. You're the only thing that remains. O Gopinath, how will my salvation be achieved? My powerful senses have brought my mind under their control and do not relinquish their addiction to worldly enjoyment. No. My mind is no longer free to decide. The senses which crave enjoyment and contact with the sense object, to see something interesting, to touch, to eat, to to hear, they have taken control over my mind. And I tried so many things. I tried to suppress this, but it didn't work. Now, Gopinath, I have one last, one path is still open to me. Oh, Gopinath, please, ridaye bosiya more, washiya, you can also say, ridaye, and you reside, please, in my heart, and restrain my mind, diverting it towards you. Thus you will end my terrible predicament. Yes, you may not be able to control the mind and the senses, but Krishna is, do you know his name in this form? He is Hrishikesha. Yes, he can do what you cannot do. O Gopinath, you have seen that I am without shelter. You are the master of the senses. So please subdue my senses and my mind and deliver me from this dark worldly existence. And he ends, he says, the noose is already around my neck. I will be hanged on the next English oak tree. You please now take the sword of your mercy and cut that noose so that I'm again free. This, my dear devotees, is the third way. Indulging suppression does not work, but running to Krishna works. But first you need to do one thing. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, if you understand that material sense gratification will never satisfy you, then you have made a great step towards Krishna. This needs to be understood, that sense gratification cannot satisfy us. Therefore, in the scriptures, we have these examples of personalities like Dhruva, who's trying to fulfill his desire for a huge empire, for instance, but then in the end is dissatisfied and says, oh, this is broken pieces of glass, this empire, and you are the best jewel, I turn towards you. No? We have many such examples of people. In the Chaitanya tradition, we have Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, my dear devotees, I don't know if you realize this. He was approached by the most powerful agent of Krishna, Maya Devi herself, for sense gratification. Maya Devi had a very clear offer for him. This is a moonlit night. No one will see you and me enjoying. And Haridas Thakur was able to withstand Maya. Not even Brahma, the creator of this universe, can withstand Maya. But Haridas Thakur, he chanted, took shelter at Krishna's lotus feet by chanting. You may say, Sachinandan Swami, you are absolutely boring. Your solution, I know. You say we should turn to Krishna, we should chant Hare Krishna. What do you think we do every day? We chant, and it does not work. We still have so many material desires. My dear devotees, there are two types of chanting, and perhaps it is time now, after so many years of trying, to turn to that type of chanting that will work and leave the chanting which does not work. There is ordinary chanting. It is said by Jiva Goswami, just this mechanical chanting will save you from going to the hellish planets, not more. And there is the Sneha Samyukta Nam, the name which you chant with affection towards Krishna. And this chanting will bring you directly to the side of Krishna. Sneha Samyukta Nam. Now you say, but that's the problem. I can't chant with affection. I have an affection for Maya, but not affection for Krishna. My dear devotees, you can also chant with affection for Krishna. If you understand that Krishna is waiting for you to turn to Him. Krishna wants a relationship with each single one with you. He has invested already so much into this relationship. He came as your spiritual master. Krishna came as the saintly scriptures. Krishna came in so many good ways, in making arrangements that you would meet devotees. He has invested. And Prabhupada made a scientific statement, I wanted to say. If you just try to love Krishna, just try your best, no? You will find out how much Krishna loves you in the way in which he reciprocates. I have the direct quote here. If you try to love God, you will gradually realize how much he loves you. My dear devotees, you must finally enter the path of Sneha Samyukta Nam, chanting with affection. You must try to, and the way I do this is, I think of Krishna as hankering for my affection. There is a beautiful passage in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where the Lord greets the soul who returns to him. He says, Svagatam, Suswagatam. He says two times, welcome, welcome, welcome. And he said, I have been waiting for you so long. Then he says, hope that you would return to me had me made me dance like a fool. I remember we once had guests in our Gora Bhavan, and they were going to arrive at 9 o'clock. There were devotees, guests, and of course they were terribly late, as is our culture. So I knew they will come at 9:30 most probably. So we went out at 9:25, and we looked down the road and we hoped so much, hopefully they come. No, it's not this car. No, it's not this car. No, when do they come? We want to give them prasadam. They have traveled. We want to sit them down. We want to serve them hand and foot. When do they come? And I remember, finally, I saw a van, and I could only start to dance. You know, they have come. They have come. Finally, they have come. Late, but they have come. Wonderful. So this is what the Lord says. Hope had me dancing like a fool. I expected you. But I saw you had no inclination to turn to me. That's what I saw. And then I could not do anything because my timeless rule is I will not interfere with the desire of the living entity. I will not force myself and my love upon anyone. So, you just stayed absent-minded. But then, I did something. I appeared before you as your spiritual master to teach you. Come, come, come. And now, finally, you are back. And I can only say, this kingdom of God is yours. Stay here to your full satisfaction. So it is from this reference and one other reference that we can say Krishna wants us. I remember when I was not knowing about Krishna consciousness, my first reading from Prabhupada's works was his peace formula, where he quoted the verse, Suri dang savabhutanam, I am the friend of all living beings. No? Krishna is friendly towards us. Prabhupada says he has given us so many chances, but we were not interested. But still he is not angry at us. He is still with us as the Lord. So my dear devotees, we can escape the bondage or the noose of our desires, which are there. It doesn't help to say they are not there. It doesn't help to dress in saffron robes or in gray robes or black robes or whatever. Desires are there. They don't go away by the color of your dress, you know. It helps only to invite Krishna in our heart by trying to chant with the awareness that Krishna is there and listens to me as I chant, and then I give my best, and then Krishna reciprocates in kind. Hare Krishna, you are stealing prasadam. Hare Krishna, we caught you. My dear devotees, what do you think? I see you see, look at me, and your face says, nothing new, Maharaj. Yes, very new, if you hear the subtleties. We we stand no chance if we don't learn to chant Sneha Samyukta Nam. We cannot fight Maya. You know, like Haridas Thakur. Brahma was defeated. I mean, after Brahma's defeat, what's then the chance to be here? But Krishna can say to Maya, recede, leave him alone. He's trying. And I think this works very well. I request you to become students in the school of the holy name, but not the mechanical chanting, the dry chanting, the capsula of the holy name, but trying to do everything that you can in order to turn to Krishna and be with Krishna, and Krishna will reciprocate. I want to pause here my lecture. I want to see if you have any questions regarding this, and I will try my best to help you with good answers. Well, there are the normal suspects who always have a question. Here, Kavi, not always has a question.
Hare Krishna. Haribu, haribu. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank
nice
you so much.
Nice to see you, by the way.
Wonderful to see you. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for this beautiful lecture. One of the questions that came up for me in my mind, and tying back to what you said at the beginning, was that realizations are extremely important in our Krishna consciousness. And oftentimes these realizations, they carry us through, they give us the higher taste, so that then when these desires hit us, we have a deeper experiential experience of Krishna consciousness. My question is that oftentimes these realizations, they kind of come seemingly of their own accord by Krishna's mercy, and often by surprise. We're not expecting them, and then they can suddenly arrive. Is there a way we can do everything on our part to make these happen more regularly, because they're so powerful in our spiritual life? Is there something we can change in our heart to be able to access them more regularly?
Yeah, yes, it is true. Realizations or experiences are given to us. To have them more frequently is to stand in the proper place. I would like to... Please excuse me. This happens when you get older. All of a sudden, your body, your mind forgets, and your body... Anyways. Let me give you an example. In my childhood, I lived on an island. We were told as children that when we get sun rain, we grow faster. Sun rain is when it rains, but there's also sun. It's a beautiful phenomena. And we were, little boys are always interested to grow, because then they can run faster and climb higher and so on. I was very interested in growing. And I remember I looked always when there is sun rain, and when sun rain was coming, I went outside. I didn't stay inside. So Krishna's mercy flows at a few places more frequently. His experience is more frequent in certain places. And if you bring yourself to these places, then you get them. It is known Krishna's mercy comes in sadhu sangha. We all have experienced this. When we have genuine experiences with devotees, we open our hearts to this, there's a rush of mercy and rush of insight. Sadhu Sangha. It can help even with illnesses and so on. We asked a genuine sadhu to pray for us, and it works. You know, Krishna, also mercy flows also at holy dhams, holy places. And there is a secret place where Krishna's mercy can be easily gotten. It's in kirtan. When we are supporting the kirtan, it doesn't have to be our own kirtan, but other kirtan, when we genuinely support that, no? Sing and so on. There was one of you who in the kirtan said like this, he was neither inside the kirtan nor outside the kirtan, he was at the edge. And I suggested to him to get into the kirtan, which he did wonderfully. So when we are really when a kirtan happens and we are not there as a bystander, but we either support or we absorb ourselves, then Krishna's mercy is very much there. It is said, mat bhakta yatra gayanti tata tishtami narada. Narada, can be found at one place. Listen now very carefully. This one place is in the kirtan of my devotees. This is my secret place. Then he says, then the Lord speaks to Arjuna about kirtan. Yes, if you do kirtan, but you also call out longingly for me. Oh Krishna, oh Krishna, 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 Krishna. Then I come to you. I don't come to anyone else, only to he or she who sits in kirtan and sings longingly for me. No? And again, here is the Sneha Samyukta Nam. That's really the secret. My dear devotees, mechanical chanting has value. It is not that you should better not chant than chant mechanically. Yes, yes. But it does not bring you into the kingdom of bhakti. Learn to chant with affection. And this comes also, my dear devotees, please listen carefully. If you study the scriptures and pray the prayers of the great devotees in your life, they melt your heart. They melt your heart. And they break the hard crust of the ego which is around the heart. If you chant with affection, then you are chanting. Then Krishna is listening to you. Prayerful chanting. Oh, my dear devotees, that's the way to go. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked, whose prayers does the Lord hear? Does he hear everyone's prayer? And he answers, he hears those prayers and answers those prayers of people who chant with surrender to him. Sneha, somehow or other. Some of us, by hook or by crook, want to become famous. Others, by hook and by crook, want to get the Mahaprasadam. Others, by hook and by crook, want to marry this particular person. You know, why not by hook and by crook get Krishna's mercy? No? Hare Krishna. And that happens when you chant with affection. What do you think from London? My dear devotees, most of you will forget this lecture, if not all of you, because you are we hear so much, over our capacity, we hear sometimes. So remember, if you remember one word, hook and by crook, that's an easy word for our mentality, you know, when we want something. You have to learn how to develop loving emotions for Krishna. And I, how did you like this? Let me get the glasses here. This one sentence of Prabhupada. If you just try to love God, you will find out how much He loves you. He reciprocates. Just try. Say the prayers of others, you know, before you go to bed. Just don't go to bed so dull or with the latest Netflix adventure series accosting your consciousness, you know. Go to bed with a prayer and what else you can do. You know, find out where you can fan your spark, you know, your Krishna conscious spark. Hare Krishna. Kavi Chanda, yes. What is your good name, Prabhuji?
Krishna, I don't have a god name yet.
You have a name?
I don't have a god name. You asked for my god name. I'm not initiated.
But you have a name?
Yeah, I have a name.
You are James or
And Theodore.
Theodore, yes, yeah. Theodore, yes.
Krishna, thank you for the lecture.
It sounded so dramatic. I have no name. Theodore, that's a name of God. Theodore, your mother had some good idea. Yes, yes.
My question would be, does everyone has to find their own way to get to pure chanting, or is there some hard, fast rules that everyone can apply?
It's both, Theodore. There are some rules which need to be observed by everyone. It's the avoidance of the 10 offenses. Some now say in our movement, and I think it's a valuable thing, you have to develop defenses, you know. Instead of offending devotees, for instance, that's the first offense. You serve them, you praise them, or you have kind relationships with them, you know. So you need these to avoid these 10 offenses. You can do this negatively by avoiding things, or you can adopt a set of behavior by doing it positively that helps you so that you can't do this. This is a basic rule. Anyone needs to do this. On whatever level they are, they need to do this. But when it comes to developing a relationship to Krishna, there are recommendations, but you have to see what fits your nature at a particular time. I have a certain set of things which I do, but they are individual, and therefore I do not think it helps you if I tell them to you. I discovered the prayers as something very important in my life. I think they are totally underestimated in our movement. Prayers can even heal cancerous patients who have cancer stage 5. It's so powerful if you just explore this and know how to do it. Yes, prayers is for me a way, but for instance, also Theodore, reading spiritual literature, Prabhupada's books, puts your mind on a certain, changes the perspective, no? And you get new insights and so on. But what book you read in your private time, after, first, of course, you are a new man, you have to read Gita and become familiar with Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, but there are certain pieces of literature that work strongly for you. So yes, it's a general path. Yes, it's a one-size-fits-all process. But when it comes to developing your relationship with Krishna, it's also an individual path. It's both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and you have a name, Theodore. You have a name. Theodore, that is a very divine name. There's Theo. Theos means God. Theo, the one who gives God. I think that's the translation of it. Let my eyes now wander to the Mataji side. Yes, Mataji. We have a microphone for you. Hare Krishna, kid. I see you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
I was reflecting on what you were saying about guilt at the beginning. And sometimes I find that we can be attached to the comfort that can be found in guilt and wallowing.
Comfort. Oh, yeah.
And wallowing in the belief that we can't move past things. How do we overcome that and become more willing to allow our false beliefs to be broken and our ego to be broken, because that can be a painful experience to go on as well.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes our mind works against us and we like to repeat the same mindset and behavior. There's a psychological investigation on this, and it is seen that sometimes people feel more comfortable in repeating wrong behavior than changing into a new behavior, because they know at least the wrong behavior, but the new thing is uncertain. I don't want to give away my points and the welcoming lecture, Pandavasena, but I can tell you one thing. A genuine spiritual life means to mold from time to time, and that can be only done in a safe place. When I was in Mauritius, we had a beautiful Kirtan Mela, that's a long time back, maybe 10 years back. I also was in the ocean of Mauritius and I saw a lobster. And do you know what is a lobster? From time to time, the lobsters go into a cave and they shed their old shell because they have outgrown the old size and they now need a new shell. But when they break the old shell, they are extremely vulnerable to predators. Fishes, you know, who eat. I don't know, sharks for sure, you know. So what they do is they go into a cave in a protected area. So if you see there is a behavior in you that is no longer helpful for your spiritual advancement, you need to change and grow into a new behavior. But most probably you need to do this in a protected place, in a protected time. You might, for instance, when you... Are you working or studying? Studying. When there are holidays from the university, you might like to go on a personal retreat and then adopt a new type of behavior. For instance, in relationship to your chanting, you might make a chanting reform and develop a new habit of chanting good rounds, and then you bring this with you. But you know, making genuine changes in our lives, like the one the lobster makes, no? That does require some thought and some effort. It doesn't come so easily. Therefore, many people like to go, it's known in traditional spiritual culture, you go on pilgrimage and you go on retreat and develop an entirely new set of behavior and bring that back. I like to always, when I come back from pilgrimage, I bring always one habit with me, which I have learned on pilgrimage, and then I put it into life. I must admit, though, I was not yet super successful because my life at the moment is so hectic. It's so much service. I welcome the service, but sometimes it's a little much. So my answer to you is go and break your old shell and develop anew, so that the new person which you are new with, the new insights, the new desires, the new wishes can find an appropriate lifestyle, no? And an appropriate mindset also. Yeah, most of us, we have high ideals, we don't reach them, then we feel guilty, but we never do anything about it. You had a very good English word, colloquial English, we wallow, like a hawk who wallows in the mud. We wallow in this dysfunctional thoughts, guilt and so on, and we never do anything against it. Stop, everyone, from time to time. Where are you running? Everything you are looking for is inside, the soul, God, eternity. If you keep on running, you might miss it all. If you keep on looking outside, you might miss it all. Yes. So sometimes you need to say stop. When you have university holidays, for instance, when your mind is at ease. I know Londoners are never at ease. Maybe you need to leave London. It's called in European language the beast London. Hare Krishna. Actually, it's not London. It's a beast of busyness. That's the problem, not the town. Good. There's some who always ask questions, and perhaps you need to study your psychology. Is it attention seeking, or is it a real question? This you have to find out. My dear devotees, we have now, our allotted time is over. I will stop here. There was this one. Try to do something so that your spiritual practice is relieved from automatic mechanic practice, but becomes a real living practice where you have affection for Krishna and develop affection for Krishna. This will keep you busy for 10 years, so you have to get to work now. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo.
Sarina Sachinandan Swami Maharaj ki jai. Dear devotees, just before we leave, Maharaj has very kindly come with his books. So there's a table outside by the entrance. Please do go take the nectar, especially while Maharaj is here. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.